Well, if you got your Bibles with you this afternoon, I'll be in Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Yeah, Pastor called me, not this previous Thursday, but the Thursday before that. I was just getting finished with something at work, and I saw he texted me and said, hey, give me a call when you get the chance. And so took a quick break, called him. He just talked to me, and then just randomly, I don't know why, he started talking about the anniversary service. I was like, oh, cool, that's coming up. I didn't know that was already coming up. And then he just popped a question saying, can you come preach it? Come preach in the afternoon. And so I thought about it the rest of that day, and then called him back that evening and said, or texted him back, I don't remember, said, yeah, I'll come do it. I was like, I need another opportunity to preach, so I'll come preach. But Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, everyone knows these verses, but I'm going to read them real quick just to get them refreshed in our mind. The Bible says in verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. I know it's voting season. Everyone's about, hopefully should, if you're at least 21, go vote. I had to do a mail-in ballot this year, but one thing I had to do when I got that ballot, there's state questions, there's people on there that I've never heard of, and I had to learn some things. I looked up online who all these people were and what the state questions were about. And I had to teach myself some things, as I'm sure everyone here will go look and make sure that before they just willy-nilly vote yes or no on these questions, they're going to teach themselves about what these questions are going to do. Are they good for the city or the state or the country, or are they bad? Are they going to be detrimental to all the people? And it just, you had to get taught. You had to learn it before you just did it. Amen. And today we're going to be looking at how we're supposed to teach the world. In verse 19 it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. We need to teach them about the gospel. This first, go ye therefore and teach all nations, is our call. God's calling every single one of us to give the gospel to this lost and dying world. We need to teach them why they need it. Why they need this gospel that God has given to us all so freely. And the reason being is because they're lost, dying, going to hell. And without this gospel, without them accepting what God has done for us, they're not going to get to see Christ or God or get to live for eternity in heaven. They need to be taught what this gospel is, how it affects their life, and why they need to do it. And so that's the first call that God gives us here in the Great Commission. Matthew 28, verse 19. He says to teach all nations. Now, the all nations part, me and Pastor were even just talking this afternoon. It's not just like when you think of a different nation, you think of foreign. All nations means everyone. We're a nation. We got to teach ourselves. So the people around us, we need to teach them the gospel. I'm sure everyone here, if you work out in the world, you're going to have coworkers who are not saved, who do not go to church, who do not know anything about God, may not even know who God is. They could have gone their whole lives without even knowing who Christ is. And that's why we have been called to go ye therefore and teach all nations. Give them the gospel. So first off, we need to teach them the gospel. We need to present the Lord's salvation to them in such a way that they can decide for themselves if they truly want this or not, and to get saved and go to heaven. The next part of it is the next, Matthew 19 and 20, or Matthew 28, 19 and 20, he gives you an order of what you're supposed to do, of how you're supposed to do it. So first off, you have to teach them the gospel. That's the first step for any new believer. You have to tell them what the gospel is. Help them to decide if they want to fully understand this and accept it into their own heart. The next step that God gives us to do is we need to baptize them properly in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. A lot of people nowadays, a lot of different denominations, just pass over this part in the Great Commission. They don't think it's that important, even though it's there for a purpose. God wouldn't have said it if it wasn't important. It is the next step of following God. Showing publicly in front of other people that you, yourself, you're devoting and you're choosing to follow Christ in the ways that He has taught us through the Bible, how we should. This also goes under teaching them. We need to teach them why this is such an important step. Why getting baptized? Because when I first got saved, I didn't really understand why I had to get baptized, why some dude up in a tank of water had to dunk my head under water and then say these certain things and pull me back up. We need to tell them why it is. Amen. That it is symbolic. The baptism's not going to save you. It's not going to give you a one-way ticket to heaven. It's symbolism. It's showing that you are going to follow Christ. As Christ did, He died and was buried and then rose again. You're a new person in Him. It shows how you've died to the world. You're no longer part of the world. And when you come back up, you're a new creature in Christ. You're going to live a new life. You're not going to be the same. It shows everyone that you're choosing to identify with Christ. And after baptism, he says again, teaching them to observe whatsoever I have commanded you. After we've taught them the gospel, after they've gotten saved, that's the first step. Getting saved is the first step in the Great Commission. The next step is baptism. And this third step is teaching them all the things that Paul has taught them, or just what God has given us through the apostles of how to live. Teaching them to observe all things, how they should behave, how they need to forgive, what they can and cannot endorse in this world, what they should be doing and what they shouldn't be doing. There is a plethora of things that they need to know. It's all going to be brand new, but they need to know it. After they are converted, there will be many things that they need to learn. Amen. How to act properly, how to speak properly, how we as Christians should strive to keep our minds pure and clean and not think bad thoughts. Keep our mind away from sinful things, like lust, hatred, jealousy, pride. So many things that need to be taught to a new believer in Christ. That's where the church comes in. Yes, we learn about it in church. We get taught it through Sunday school and through preaching up here at the pulpit. But realistically, if I've seen anything about how I've learned, I don't really learn the best when I'm getting told it. I learn the best when I watch other people and how they do it. And so where the church comes in, and to a lot of people, I feel like a lot of people learn that way by observation, is how we are going to live knowing what we know what God wants us to do. People are going to watch you. People are going to watch and make sure that what you're telling them is what you're actually living. Amen. When you're saying, hey, we shouldn't speak that certain way, well, are you speaking that way? Or are you going to keep your mouth clean and not say those words? The reason they need to be taught all these different things, not even just about speech or anything, is I heard this one just the day after Pastor called me and I said, yes, I'll preach. I was standing on my cherry picker in my warehouse, picking up windows, moving stuff, and my coworker was listening to a podcast about someone here in Texas. He is fighting, has been fighting for like the past 8 years against his wife and against the state of Texas and the state of California, because his wife, since their son was the age of 3, has been trying to transition him into a girl. And I started listening to that because I just thought that was absurd. But then when I really started thinking about it, the reason she's probably okay with that, the reason she was probably trying to do that, is most likely she hasn't been taught. She doesn't know what's truly right or wrong. The world doesn't see all of that as wrong. She hasn't been taught what needs to be taught. And so we need to teach. That's why teaching them is so important when it comes to new converts, and even just when you're trying to reach the world. They need to know how to live. If you just convert them and then just leave them be, say, hey, figure it out. Throw them in the water, like trying to teach someone to swim. Throw them in the water and they'll figure it out. No, you can't do that when it comes to living a Christ-like life. Because you're pretty much condemning them just back to what they were doing. You never told them what was right and wrong. You didn't teach them how they should live. And finally, this passage says, "And lo, I am with you always." It's God saying He will always be with you. Through all the times that you're having to teach these people, it's going to be hard. It's hard to confront someone when they're wrong, especially if they're someone close to you. I know me personally at work, it's hard to confront my boss when he's saying something wrong and he's acting in a certain way that I don't want to be around. He shouldn't even be acting like. It's hard to confront him and say, hey, we shouldn't be doing that. He's my superior, has 15, 20 years of life on me. It's hard for a young man like me to say, hey, I don't like that. You shouldn't be acting that way. But you got to remember that even though it's going to be hard to confront them and tell them what's true, teach them the truth, God's going to be right there with you. He's going to give you the words to say. He's going to know how you should come across it to different people. Amen. The Bible says that He's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. God will never leave you nor forsake you. He'll always be right there with you. You may be here today, and by this point, after everything I've said, saying, I don't think I could teach or help anyone. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't even know what to say. Maybe you're a new Christian as well, a new convert. I've only been saved for 3 years. I grew up all my life in it, but I didn't really get saved till my first year at Heartland. But maybe you don't know exactly what to say, but we know right here what I just said. God will be with you. I don't always know what I'm going to say when I'm trying to confront someone. Sometimes I feel like what I said will do more harm than good, just because I don't know everything. But it's needed. He will be there with us, and it's a needed thing to teach them how to act right and how to be a godly Christian. Because otherwise, our next generation isn't going to be, they're not even going to measure up to what they need to be. They need to be ready to stand in the face of evil, but they won't be able to if we don't tell them how they're supposed to stand. So it's vitally important that we teach them the gospel so that they come to Christ. But more importantly, it's vitally important that we teach them how they're supposed to act, what God expects of us, how we should want to be seen, what our character should want to look like. When people think of us, how we want them to actually think of us. This text, shortly after I started knowing what I was going to preach about, this song came to mind. It's in our hymnals, and I'm sure everyone in here knows it no matter how long you've been in church. And it shows us how we need to approach this truth about teaching them. I'll read you a verse from the song. It says, "Set my soul afire, Lord, for the lost in sin. Give to me a passion as I seek to win. Help me not to falter, never let me fail. Fill me with thy spirit, let thy will prevail. Set my soul afire, Lord. Set my soul afire. Make my life a witness of thy saving power. Millions grope in darkness, waiting for thy word. Set my soul afire, Lord. Set my soul afire. Amen. So, are you going to hear what God has said in His Bible and let Him set your soul afire to teach them? Or are you just going to sit back and relax and be comfortable in what you know?